Since we did pass the apology of the CEO, Mr. Joshua, he's been hit by a bout of flu. And unfortunately, today we don't have any member of the board. There has been quite a number of issues that we raised with board members, but we don't have any today.
Do you have any apologies from any members of the board or not? But you can take notes of us.
Yes, there are apologies from the chairperson. She could not make it. The chairperson did send us an apology.
So, can you get the apology? Can you put it to us? Yeah, and the board is not only the chairperson, the other members of the board. So they are not aware of this.
The chairperson and two other members who are in the legal fraternity, and for the past two meetings, the other member we had to write to the court to postpone the matters, but this time around we came with Mr. Mazzini and Advocate Ika, who is the prosecution cases, couldn't make it as well. The fourth person is the CEO, Mr. Jeff Chu.
Okay.
I apologize for that, Chair. I personally had to get out of there to come in here.
So you're not making
it? Yeah, Chair, there's been something going on in out there. I don't know what is it, but majority of the people have got something going on.
Okay.
So the content of the presentation encapsulates the mandate, operational environment, 2014-15 performance targets, and then our priority products that will assist us going forward, and financial sources, the MTEF budget, the challenges and required interventions, and the conclusion. So I will not take time into this mandate, as I believe members have seen it on our presentations before. The objectives, compliance with road traffic laws, encourage payment of penalties, establish procedure for effective and expedient adjudication, alleviate the burden of the cost. We also need to penalize infringers through allocation of the net points, reward good behavior. The Act also seeks to establish an agency, which is us, RPIA, and then also need to strengthen cooperation between the prosecution and law enforcement authorities. Our operational environment, Chairperson, would just need to indicate to yourselves what is it that we are operating on. We have an environment where the three is the law enforcement authorities, is the infringer, and then it's ourselves. The fourth part is the courts, where there are an offense that has been committed. On day one, Chairperson, a driver or an infringer will receive what you call an infringement. But as you can see up there, there's what called an offense in terms of Section 23. I'm not going to go too much into the offenses because these are ones that go directly to court. As RPIA, we just get the report from the law enforcement agency and we record it on the NCR, and then it goes to court. When the court deals with that, then we receive the report and then we see the report. So I'm not going to get too much into that. Of all the offenses, they just go directly to court. Drinking and driving, excessive speeding, all those offenses, they go directly to court. I'll talk for more on infringement, where a person will receive an infringement and then that person must either pay the penalty or submit a representation, or the person must nominate a driver, apply to pay the instrument, or the last one would be elect to go to court. That person can elect to go to court immediately. Chairperson, that's not the one where people elect to go to court. We are actually having a problem with that because it's giving some of the people a motive to can escape the process here. Chairperson, if this are not done, then we will send a KPC letter. The agency must send a KPC letter whereupon if there's no response from the alleged infringer, then we send what we call an enforcement order. In terms of Section 21 of the current Act, we need to execute a warrant of execution whereby there's no response after the enforcement order as well. This means we can either send the sheriff to take your TV, to demobilize your vehicle, and so on and so on. You remember, Chairperson, that we did indicate that this one, according to how South Africa's landscape, political, social, political conditions, we believe that this one should be scrapped from the Act. That's our belief. We did make a recommendation to the department, and it will be coming through to Parliament. Chair, I indicated on day 32 when there's no response from the infringer, I'll send out the courtesy letter. Now, this courtesy letter is a form of a reminder to the infringer to say, you have received this particular infringement. And during this period, the infringer still has got the option to pay the penalty within 32 days of receipt. Upon that stage, there's no discount on the penalty. Remember, within 32 days, the first 32 days, the infringer can pay 50% of the penalty as shown on the infringement notice. Now, during the second 32 days after the courtesy letter, no discount, and there's a fee payable for courtesy letter, or the infringer can still make a presentation, apply to pay in installment, or elect to go to court. If any of this has not happened, then the agency is required to issue what we call an enforcement order. This enforcement order is served also through what we call registered mail, and it compels the infringer to deal with the infringement amount as well as the KPC letter fee and enforcement letter fee before that person can renew his license, driving license, or renew his vehicle license, or operator card is issued to such a person or such a company. After this is performed, which is after the enforcement order, options available is just to pay the penalty with no discounts, with the fees for KPC letter and enforcement order, and after that, then the enforcement order will be lifted, then you can do the transactions that are necessary. If there was any process that was not followed before the enforcement order, the applicant, the infringer can apply for a revocation order whereby the registrar must look at all the processes. If something was not followed according to the law, then a revocation can be done on the enforcement order. So the warrant of execution that I was talking about, if it was to be effective, it means seizing or selling of immovable property to defray the penalties, seizing of driving license or PRP, defacing license fees, mobilizing motor vehicle, as well as reporting the infringer to the credit bureau. Now, one of the things that we are advocating, Chair, is that in terms of the National Credit Act, we as RPIA do not have any agreement with the infringer. So we cannot support that infringer to the credit bureau. That's one of the reasons why when we looked at this provision, we said we need to recommend that this provision be removed and we'll have an enforcement order as a chief as well as the points we made as the chief of action. Chairperson, these are the stakeholders in the whole environment of ARTO. It starts with the issuing authorities when they do law enforcement. When it's an offense, they arrest the driver and will try it in court. The RTAA gets involved by recording. When it is an infringement, then we get a camera infringement just captured by the issuing authority, and then we get to send it to the infringer via registered name. Some of them actually go into the website and look at them, and then they actually pay immediately. But some of them, they wait for an infringement notice to be sent through registered name. This is one of the things that making the actual environment very, very difficult for a person, because when we have price like the post office, we cannot function effectively as RTIA. So there's the performance targets that we have set ourselves. We have committed to 6 strategic objectives for the period. The first one is enforced compliance by penalizing contravention of road traffic laws. Number 2, enforced payment of penalties. Number 3, change behavior of road users. Number 4, increase access to airport information management processes. 5, enhance administration and resourcing of the agency. Number 6, generation packaging and dissemination of road safety information. On the strategic objective 1, the target of the strategic plan is to adjudicate 100% all representations received. So you ask yourself, why are we saying 100%? In terms of the law, any representation that we receive as the RPIA, we need to adjudicate it within 21 days after receipt. That's the law. If it's not done within 21 days, there must be very good reason. For instance, where we must go out and do in local inspection or further particular tracking, as we said, from the issuing authorities. Some people will allege that in a particular area there was no sign or something like that. So we need to go out and see if that's exactly what it is, and then we can adjudicate. 13-14 performance, audited performance, we did 151,734 representations. As indicated, medium-term target is 100% representation adjudicated. Charles, and the rationale is very simple. We do not know how many infringements will be done. We also don't know how many people will do representation. That's why we could not see the number. If we say 160,000 and we receive less representation, it looks like we do not perform. If we took a bigger number and we receive more, it looks like we overachieve, whereas that's not the case. It's actually what we receive. That's why we put there 100%. Whatever number that we receive, we need to adjudicate within 21 days of receipt, and we need to do all of them. Strategic objective 2, collect all revenue paid at various entities. Chairperson, in terms of ARCO, we have all traffic, what we call traffic departments in this country. They are actually receiving entities. You can pay your ARCO fine anywhere, any traffic department in this country, whether it's in Springbok, or whether it's in Limpopo, or whether it's in Western Cape. You receive it in Johannesburg, you can pay anywhere. So there's a tendency here, Chairperson, of these entities withholding this money. When we started collecting this money, remember that this function was done by RCMC before. When we took over and started collecting this money, we found that over an amount of about 22 million was lying all over the country. That should be in the account. So we started following up and collecting this money. For the past year, 2014, we collected 49 million from this entity. That is including what we were receiving on a monthly basis. And medium-term target, we are looking at 240 million, 12 and 375. The portion that goes to the RTIA in terms of this is 142 million, 166 and 162. These figures are based on the national rollout as we anticipate it will be done in the coming financial year. So you see there it says collecting outstanding fees through debt collection process. That process change. We have to relook at the process simply because some of the laws that were introduced did not allow us to go ahead with the collection of this through debt collection process. As I indicated, National Credit Act, when you do a debt collection, there must be an agreement. So what we did, we changed the model slightly, where we have internal people calling the companies that we can recognize from the system that are owing us this fine. We call them and then we collect through that process, where we give them the infringement numbers and then they actually pay over if they agree. Strategy objective 2, we're saying we need to post all valid courtesy letters 100% as well as enforcement orders that are there. During the past year, 469,566 courtesy letters were sent. Enforcement orders, we have 90,211, that is 1314. For the 14-15, we anticipated that we should serve 100% courtesy letters and then 100% enforcement orders. So we believe that there's going to be a problem with achieving this target, simply because of the sample size that we had. Secondly, because of the court action that we had. So these two issues, we believe that they are going to render our target not achievable. However, we are in talks with the police office to see how many of these can still go and how many are actually already illegal in terms of the process. So by illegal I mean in terms of the act there are time frames that are put for us to act, and if we did not act within that time of time or the issuing authority did not act during that time, then the whole process is wrong going forward. These are some of the things that we believe when we look at the legislation, we need to review these things and make sure that we do not put ourselves in a position where we are going to fail if one or two things happen. Strategic objective 3, change behavior of road users. So we looked at strategic partnerships. We need to do what we call reaching road users through public awareness and community outreach programs. So you remember that when we did a presentation to this committee, we indicated that in our view, we looked at the census of last year, and we also looked at South African community, and we said we'll target the churches through this community awareness programs. So we have those strategic partnerships with some of the bodies, interfaith bodies, so that we can reach at least on one particular Sunday, if we can reach at least 5 million people preaching roses, we will go somewhere. So we're also saying to the two public awareness and community outreach programs, and these ones we focus on going to malls, shopping centers, taxi ranks, and doing awareness programs. Changing the behavior of road users. Chairperson, in terms of the current regulatory regime, we are going to cancel the licenses of those who will be receiving the merit points. But what next? I'm saying to ourselves, these people must never drive again. So we look at the problem and we are saying we need some rehabilitation programs. so that when these people get back to the roots, they are really hidden. They are not actually coming back for the sake of coming back. Remember, after 3 years of your license being suspended, you can never receive your license back. I was saying you are going to get the happy people to get into our roots. That's how they was written. What you are saying there is we propose that we establish rehabilitation programs so that these people can go through a process before they go back into our roots. Increase access to urban information. Chair, sitting around this table, I believe that if any member needs to find some information on Abdo or his status, they'll have to go into one website or call our call center. And if that is not acceptable, we need to broaden these platforms so that people can actually receive their statuses, they can check their generic ones and so forth and so forth once we roll out countrywide. So, when we look at the rollout of the Abdo nationally, we also look at the capacity of the organization. We need to have more staff, particularly in the areas of accreditation, as well as the call center, that we need to fill more the positions so that we can service countrywide. Currently, we are looking at the number of calls that are coming in, and I must admit that our call center is not up to scratch. We have had complaints that people are not getting through, and we are in the process of upgrading that particular call center. So there are two areas that will make this number that we have anticipated, is the call center as well as the education area. We all know that once it is come to what people will be taking chances and bringing in representations in the hope that their affairs will be cancelled. So, as I said, every representation that it needs to be dealt with 21 days. So we need more capacity in order to deal with those representations. We also need to expand our institutional capacity in terms of infrastructure. The current infrastructure that we have linked to the NCR is not up to scratch. What we are saying is we need to make sure that people can actually submit through electronic means, and then we can deal with the issues as quickly as possible. Provide legal and governance support. These are the supporting activities from the agency. But in line with the mandate of government, in order for us to make sure that we create jobs, we are actually looking at the youth enterprise development, and this area is linked to the public rehabilitation schools. So the last one, generation, packaging and dissemination of road use information. As I indicated, we need to institutionalize this monitoring and evaluation system that we have. Currently we are doing it just within the agency. We need to make sure that even the issuing authorities are brought into the system so that we can see the impact of ARTO as we go forward. So, as I indicated, we need a well-resourced call center. Currently we have about four call center agents, and they are not actually coping because even the system itself is not up to scratch. So we are looking at making sure that by the end of this financial year we have 10. And if we receive a mandate from the CEO that we can actually make it clean for this particular year. So we are looking at resourcing the call centers. Priority projects that will support us going forward. So we are preparing for national rollout. We remember it was in only two areas, so we are preparing. We have a detailed checklist that the authorities must fill, that we must check and make sure that they are all ready for implementation of ARTO. So we are doing continuous engagement with all stakeholders and all issue authorities. We are also looking at the National Road Safety Summit, where all stakeholders will meet. We have one in 2018. We are looking at one in the coming year, so that we can make sure that everybody understands where ARTHO is, and we can all talk about all other road safety issues. So why we are thinking this is that if in this country enforcement is not going to be up to scratch, then we can forget about ARTHO. That's why we are thinking these issues. Project number two, development of rehabilitation programs. As I indicated here, it is very important that those people who will be suspended, their licenses will be suspended and so forth, they need to go through a process that they need to be rehabilitated. When they get into the road, they are better drivers than they were before. This is part of the legislative framework that is submitted to the department, and they will be dealing with it. So we need to also analyze the questionnaire system. Currently, the threshold is 12, and we have had many interactions at NEDMEC, as well as with our stakeholders, where they believe the threshold of 12 is too little. We don't believe this, but we are still engaging. If we must say 24, all we are saying is that the person must commit more infringements and kill more people before we can cancel the license. That's all we are saying. We believe that the 12 is sufficient. Even if we have to take it down, we could, because this is about people's lives. So we're also looking at infringement appeals right now. We remember that I said notes there that the court, the issue of election to go to court is a problem for us. Simply because we were trying to alleviate the court, the burden of the court with this act. Because we have a position that says people can elect to go to court immediately. What they simply do, they elect to go to court as soon as they receive this fine, and the court is locked up. Already there are so many cases that Johannes has got to deal with, and the magistrate court in one area can only deal with 25 cases. When there's a 250 list. So it's a problem on its own, and we are saying, rather than taking that right away immediately, let's create an infringement appeal tribunal, which will be a body that will deal with those kind of representations. But that doesn't mean this body will deal with offences. Offences must still go to court, because there are people with their jail sentences. They must still go to court. But people who say he went over a stop sign and maybe he wants to, the fine that he will receive is not what he should have received, and then go to court. We should take away that and have an appeal tribunal that people can appeal to if they don't like either the outcome of the representation or whatever the sample has said. In order to have that, we need to have legislative amendments, and we did already indicate that is one of the things that needs to be in the legislation. Number three, implementation of the marketing and education program. Chairperson, the last time we were in the committee, members did indicate that we are not known, we are not communicating. And we did indicate that yes, we are aware that we are not doing it because there were some challenges with budget. Now we are trying to make sure that we go out to be on national TV, national radio, to make sure that people know about the processes of ARTHO and the RTIA. Chairperson also saying we need to call for the declaration of a national fear day for road safety. We have started the program, and we have books out there for people to find a petition that we can actually present to honorable members to consider if the 3rd of October every year cannot be set as National Prayer Day Committee. Chairperson, that doesn't mean that it should be a holiday. It's just a day that we know countrywide we must pray for safety before we get into the transport mass. financial sources, so we are funded in terms of section 13 of the Act. We are funded by fees paid to the agency in terms of the Act. Remember that there's a fee for KPC letter, there's a fee for enforcement order, and that is after we have done the work. It's when only can receive the money. We are also paid, funded by deduction from penalties collected by the agency. That is, if anybody pays after 32 days of receiving the infringement, the person has got to pay the full amount, and the half of that amount goes to the after agency. And we are also funded by monies appropriated by Parliament. If you look at the MTF, I think this year we got 15.3 million from the discuss. And that's all that we are getting. MTF, I think it's 15, 16, and 16. It's 15, and then it goes down to 11. And the following year, 10. According to the appropriation bill that they September. Otherwise, we have to go ahead and pay for donations and money to receive from any other source. So the last two are actually things that we believe you must be very innovative to deal with them, because PFMA has got its own script there that we cannot do in terms of this case. Our MPF budget, and you will see that compensation of employees, it will take the biggest chunk of the money. As I indicated, that you remember we had how many people we want to get into the organization, call center and representation officer. So that will take the big chunk of the money. The other big chunk of the money is postage expenditure, which is something that we really, really want to ask the committee to please look at registered mail issue, the amendment bill that we are trying to put through, so that this expenditure can be lower. And remember, sir, even if you are paying this expenditure, but if post office is subscribed, then the whole process is taken. So if we go to the story, we can actually achieve more and spend less. The people will receive their thing as quick as possible, and they will also respond as quick as possible. So our totals for medium-term targets, for 14-15, 167, 15-16, 182, 16-17, 228, and then it grows as we go on, simply because when you look at the amount of infringement that will be happening at the time, they will be going down. However, we need to sustain the momentum so that people don't say, no, now they are tired, and then they start behaving or misbehaving on our roads. The challenges, legislative amendments, national contravention register data reliability, the national contravention register functionalities. These are the three issues that we are currently dealing with. With the help of the department, we are now at the point where the contravention register functionalities, the people who are doing the development, have an understanding on what is it that we want, and they are trying to assist us. In terms of data, we believe that the best way to do it is to introduce the FICA-like requirements under the National Road Traffic Act. Concluding, Chair, we are committed to a segment of this village and the goal set by the decade of Ocean 46. Thank you very much.
Thank you, dear members. This is an opportunity for you to interrogate the reports. The opportunity is yours. Aaron Singer? They are fine. Okay, Aaron Defector? They are fine. Okay. Okay, Oral Bushiello.
Thank you, Professor. The first question I have, Professor, you are aware that we have almost 1 million licenses in terms of electric as at end of September. And also we have a population, vehicle population of about 11 million. And then you said you only have 4 call center agents. And you also have to do with the time frame in terms of legislation of only 1 day. I'm not sure whether you're going to even have enough people to chase the 1 million driver lessons and the 11 million cars. So I don't know how, but I'm just saying maybe we have to think of other options to be able to achieve it. But I don't see you starting for people so that they can deal with 1 million licenses and so. Secondly, I can see your on your budget 56 million is to be for posting. People can take it for granted is going to food office. I think a lot of money definitely for postage. And now, as you also said, the post office is on strike and you are saying when they go back just to go to them and see which one has expired in terms of the legislation. So it will be sort of like a fruitless experience. So I'm not sure how good to deal with that one. And also if it's in terms of the act, I'm just asking myself, why do you hang yourself and put in 1 day in the act? When you don't have enough staff, you don't have ICT, you don't have anything, and then you make your life difficult by putting in the act that you'll do everything within 31 days. The other issue, Chair, is that since people are moving towards ICT to do most of the things, but you are going back. You know, in terms of your budget. For 2014-15, your IT is 3 million. It has been coming 2 million, 3 million and what? And then you are waiting for 2017-18, why it will then keep high, you said high arrow, to 56 million. So what we have informed them, you know, if it was necessary to do some of the things, why don't they be done now? The other concern is the compensation issue. I can see you're saying you need more people. But if you look at your budget for compensation of employees, for 2013, 14 years of 34 million, then it jumps to 88 million in the 2014-15. I don't know what would have happened there, just that leap. And then 2015 and 16, you are leaping again to 1.3 million. It means all your budget is going to be consumed by compensation instead of maybe yourself improving the IT so that some of the things don't have to be done manually. The other one is the rehabilitation program. I'm not sure, the person, are they going to rehabilitate us who drive into or what? But at least it's 1 million people, where do you even start? The other one is the it's a known fact that province and municipality base their budget on the collection of this. They put it in the actually treasurer gives them the target in terms of the budget. And they use it for different things except the roads and everything. So I'm not sure how best can we be able to do that because I will do the same. I'll let people stop or not let water if I have this money which I can use it for basic services. So I think you might want to see how best you can with this one. You are not going to get it. And then the courts are also overwhelmed. Social students are also overcrowded. So if you want to also bring people who with traffic offenses to the judicial system, I'm going to look even further. It will take a lot of time to even analyze some of the cases. And the last one, Captain, I remember even in the Department of Golden Transport, there is a comment by Treasury who says he must mention the one time in Kaleo, actually in the entrance, the number of fatalities, like you said earlier. So you put 10, you know, and put 16 the other year. So what comes to my mind is that in order to achieve it, somebody must be changed. Actually, must have a program to change so that you're able to achieve your LCC. So I think some of the things you just have to, you know, get them in place when necessary. Thank you.
Right, now G.
Thanks, Chair. My first question is about the implementation, about the operation of the art here. Can maybe fully briefly explain about the issuing authorities, which are new achieve then the status quo of all metros, as you said, you can pay anywhere. The African is dead, and which issue authority which you are going to use, which are they, if you can tell us, and the status quo about the provinces, what is happening in the provinces about the thing of the act here. Director wanted to know about the money. If you said the officer, they arrest the person directly to the court, if that particular person is being fined by the court, is that money going to be transferred to the agency, or is going to be the money for the Department of Justice? The other thing is on the presentation here about the performance target. Unfortunately, there is no page here, but it's strategic objective number one. You said in the audited performance of 2013-2014 that you have helped with 161,734 representations, which you adjudicated as per now, this function here, which is end up on March. So, but you said 2014, 15, 16, 17. You just say 100% representation adjudicated, adjudicated. I think this is certain. It can be written as already adjudicated when we are going to the those years to come. You can just maybe target to be achieved 100%. Correct to achieve 100%. Not to say you've already adjudicated 100% of them for 2016 when we're not yet there. The other one is about the funding. On the funding slate, you said the other funding you rely on is donations and any other source. So I think it was specific here, yeah, because if you just see any other source and there is a committee, it's like we listen to you, we understand and we agree with you, but any other source, you must be specific about this other source which you are going to get money. And the donation, what are the potential donors of if you in the previous year you want to receive the donation? You must make us clear, like maybe if you say Uchingo lot or whatever, maybe it is an example that you must know as a...
The last question?
Last question is about the MTS budget. We need more explanation about the changing of figures. For example, on the compensation of the employees. For 2013-2014, you budgeted 33 million. For 2014-15, it's 88 million, more than 3 times of the budgeted amount. And also on facilities. As Honorable Shiola said, on the facilities for the 2016-17, 4 million. 2017-18, 84 million. Yeah, it has jumped in such a way that we need explanation of despite the projection. Thank you, Chairperson.
Arawas Bande.
Yeah, Bama, sir. Chairperson, maybe I wanted to comment maybe the presentation. Thank you very much for the
Okay.
And then I wanted to, because you raised the key point about the call center, then I wanted to find out what is your relationship with the police? Because you see, what is killing the most is that in some of the provinces, the 911 scene is not, I mean, what can I say? This image, for example, the one that an MEC of road and transport, the person 10 years with us, I'm just making examples. Maybe in Pumalanga, it's an MEC for public works and road and transport. You find that in KZN, human settlement, road to transport, something like that. What is your relationship with? Because you use that, you have created a system where you can pay anywhere. Because I wanted to check the role of it, what is the role of the provinces. And also, by raising that, you see, Chairperson, I'll put an example. The cabinet game, you raised the issue of the difficulties or challenges in the court office. There's something which I saw in Mpumalanga a few weeks ago. They brought, I thought it was a pilot project, somehow. They brought the coolies very close to the premises of Puna's offices, the other side. That coolie, they were able to collect plus minus 800,000 within 2 days. 2 days, because the coolie is having a camera, still at the registration. They are able, without, they never go to, I mean, that office is very active. Because within 2 days they were able to correct near the middle of that. 2 days. And with that question also, you see, Chairperson, which is worrying again, they spoke about the issue of rehab, some of the punished, I mean, some of the dismissed maybe to suggesting that you have to suspend the mindset of the business. So my question would be, at the moment, there's no system inside of the license system that each and every 5 years they end up suing. Then after 5 years you go to come and renew. Therefore, my question is that I wanted to find out, you know, how do you deal with the situation? Let's say myself I've got a license and I make it enough. I don't go, I mean, in terms of the effectiveness of collecting your choice. Because I can do that, that when I see that maybe I'm going, for example, let's say I'm a truck driver, going there and there, I've got a lot of child tickets, whatever might be, and then I'm subject to whatever. And then I suggest not to renew my license and leave it to them. And then the other one is about, you see, there's one thing which we are undermining sometimes in terms of the transformation. I think most of the time, some people, they don't indicate in terms of transformation, in terms of their iconogram, their representatives, with race and gender. Because some of the structures, they remain the same. The previous, okay, I know, I understand that you took over from RMCC, something like that, yes. But some of the structures, you know, if you go to the hierarchy, they still they look the same. It's Congress of boys only, males in top positions. It's Congress of boys only. Sometimes it's a little bit spice with white, it's in males, something like that. Even blacks, they do the same. No matter my colleagues spoke about the Constitution. But these are some of the things which we're supposed to correct. And then lastly, you spoke about the need to review the legislation, but yes, you put it in as one of the challenges. And then I thought that it would be much easier for us, maybe if you can, maybe indicate when is it coming to us, so that it must never be, remain as a not
screen.
Baba Wetu Suzuli. Baba Wetu Suzuli. But by when? What the keeper is not
specific. By when?
Just a few small questions. Chair, on the issue of the budget and projection, the slide being on the scale seems to be sliding down, not up, in terms of the 15, 11, 10. But no explanation is given about the scale that is sliding down. Is it because the treasury is not supporting the initiative, or is it because treasury don't like it? And associated to that, I just want to find out your impression in relation to the treasury support with respect to the share of the fine collection. As you mentioned that the payment is now countrywide, and that's the case anywhere in the Republic. The question I'm asking is, what is the empowering authority for the collection and pay back into Arcea from any sphere or authority in the country? So I just want to find out whether there is an authority, legislative authority, or is a regulation from Treasury that is empowering that to happen. Well, it is going to be a bit of a complex situation. From all the authorities collecting and paying their share, it looks fairly complex. But I don't know, have the answer in terms of what would be a simple method of paying of the fine, the authority. And I don't know in terms of the amendment that is coming, what does the amendment suggest insofar as this is concerned. Because once the money goes to the checker, and there's always a challenge for somebody to sign the check. And if you don't have authority, legislative authority, which is supported by a treasury, you're still having a serious problem. So I was asking in a very nice way whether you think the treasury is in line. Or the transport, the Department of Transport, would probably have answered that particular aspect of the question in terms of the sliding of the budget, because treasury is informed by the processes of budget in various departments, and the meeting and department making proposal about it informs the treasury decision at the end of the day. Maybe that would be, or has the projection been that by the year 2023 we would be self-sufficient because we have collected X amount of money, therefore you're not going to need to your plan to send it to transport, and transport presenting that plan to treasury result into this, whilst your plan has not been tested in real time whether you are able to collect, given the complexity of the timing system of the country. The second one, Chair, quickly, I'm concerned about the time. I know that you're looking at your watch there. The ARTO pilot, there have been a number of challenges with ARTO X in the implementation since inception. It was difficult to implement this, and it was decided that there was a pilot project in how to start with one province and then flow, and then correct the problem that you find in the app. Now, I don't know, because we haven't actually arrived at a point where we have a discussion about legislation, but would you say that some of the suggestions in terms of the amendment application is as a result of the pilot that the pilot that she out in. I think you have ruined the RTMC at the beginning. So the changing of heads, maybe you don't have that. The third one is the rehabilitation process. And I do know that there is a capacity issue. But is this being, are we funding this, are we projecting funding for it in terms of the budget that we have, or is it going to be integrated into the current or existing institution? Is just a module that is going to be introduced? If so, what is going to be the relationship with the government school of cable development that is being driven by department or public school administration in terms of this rehabilitation act? So the official plan of it is just a nice thing to have. At the end of the day, we have the capacity not to be able to implement it.
The last one.
Okay. The last one is the post office issue. I don't know, Chair, but maybe this is a question that we need to deal with when it comes to the, I must not run ahead of myself, maybe when it comes to the legislation. Let's rather deal with that, because at the moment it's a hypothetical. It's a thing that we're talking about that's not necessarily on the table. Let's leave it until we see the necessary discussion on the act itself. I'll leave it.
Okay. I don't know. Okay. I think the catch up well. The question that I want to be able to emphasize the time frame of submitting the legislation, change of the legislation, as Honorable Zandex. If you can be able to assist us with that one, would you be able to assist the portfolio committee? Number two, in terms of your MTF budget, I appreciate that you know, the compensation of the employees, the addition of the other 55 million, it means you are employing more people. I appreciate that. But I show this that it must go hand in hand with the resources that are allocated to these particular individuals. Unless they are going to employ people to lose around, not doing any job. Because if you allocate people, you must allocate resources equally. So, because I'm looking in terms of your facilities, you reduce your budget from 15 million to 6 million. You reduce your IT system from 14 to 3. I mean, but you're increasing people with about 55 million. I mean, it doesn't tally. Unless probably it's my loss of understanding. If you can be able to clarify me for that, because my understanding is that when you start employing more people, you know, and when you look at the, you start doing the issue of rehabilitation process, program, that means you are employing more people to do the physical lecture. Are you going to have enough capacity? Are these people going to have enough resources to implement those particular programs? Because in terms of your facilities in your IT, it doesn't say anything about that. How do we justify that particular argument? If you can be able also to allude. And you can see it's a scenario that is also questionable moving onwards in the other year sequence. In the question, you add people, but don't give them resources. I mean, you yourself coming here into Parliament with no computer. What are you coming here to do? I mean, really now? You know, it's a question. Please, ask us about that. Thank you. You can be able to respond to the question up here.
Thank you, Chair. I will respond to some of the questions from my colleague on the financial issue. There was questions about the 10 million driving licenses in the country. Is that really?
Say that again. Please use the mic so I can hear you all over there.
As far as I'm aware, the the population of the associates around the live ones is around 10 or 12 million. And the drivers, I think we have in a region of 8 million, between 8 and 9 million on the emergency system. That's the information that we, I think I got just last week. I think Mr. Mutafin can correct that one. But it is a challenge. It is a challenge that we cannot, as a CIA, with four call center agents, deal with the amount of representations, inquiries, and so forth that will be coming through. Honorable Musiolo indicated in a statement that some of the things we need to look at automation. Yes, we have started the process. We actually even published a bit. It was stopped in its track for other issues that we're dealing with because we wanted to automate some of the programs so that people can submit via websites, can submit their queries via all sorts of electronic means so that we can deal with them. Yes, we understand that we need a big number of call centers. Initially in 2006, when we requested that a study be done, we were told that we needed 3,500 call center agents. And we refused to believe that. And we actually did our own study throughout the period of the pilot project. And we realized that we can automate some of the functions and then have a smaller number of call center agents. So that is under consideration. The number that we are talking about, it will be dealing with, one, it will be dealing with payment issues, where people are putting their payment issues, and we will be dealing with the general cost and that issues. We've got a number of things that we are anticipating now. The other issue was on the 56 million, the cost of this budget, that will be regarded as fruitless expenditure. Yes, we agree, but we did indicate to the post office that from a certain period we are not going to pay for anything that went to them and is not processed because that is fruitless expenditure. We cannot pay for that. We are paying post office per item, 19.8 per item. And this item, it needs from them printing it until it reaches the recipient. So if any of the processes between there didn't happen, we are okay. So photo of this is in trouble. I think they were making a lot of money from both Johannesburg, Tshwane and us in the regional. Johannesburg was paying between 8 and 10 million per month. We were paying roughly 3 million and Tshwane was paying one point something million. So all that for the 4 months is in there. And they are not in there. The issue of 21 days representations, yes, so we will look into this and see if this cannot be amended. However, the thinking was that when this act was passed, the thinking was that things should come to people whilst they are fresh in their memories. We should not have too much time elapsed before we can tell you you committed an offense or an incident and so forth. But sir, I can tell you now that those sentences are actually in the process. Those sentences we put in the act are actually putting us in the process. Most of the companies that not pay, they use time frame. Either the issuing authority, they took time to take the images from the camera and upload. By the time it achieves the infringer, already contributed to the infringer. So the infringer says, no, I will not pay because of the infringer. So we are waiting on that, and I think with the assistance of the department, we can look at that. I'll give the IT budget and compensation to the CFO. Rehabilitation programs, how do they work? The intention here is to have the youth corps type of situation where these individuals, youth, will have those programs that what do you call this? the name. Yeah, this youth form themselves into cooperatives and then run this kind of things where people must go there when they have their licenses suspended, and they must do either riding courses or they must do they must undergo psychological or whatever. Remember, the behavior on the road is not only the drive, it may be psychological. Up so far, we have entered into an agreement with HW Sika and Sika, and the funding of this project is going to be through those two sources. We have already signed agreements. We are just waiting on the legislation and us indicating when can we start, and then we can actually fund this thing. So this one is more like the creation one, and it's going to be through cooperatives in various areas in the country. I think we are looking at 450 in the first year. So the other issue was postage and local authorities. I think Honorable Shielo referred to that. So this is the reason why we wrote into the proposed amendment, the electoral service. Because we believe that local authorities, as it is now, if we can go out and we roll out ARCO now, countrywide, it will fail simply because local authorities will not have the money to post this for us. This engagement notice. At 1980-ish, there are some authorities that will never be able to sustain the postage. So that's the reason we are going electronic service, so that it can go through an email or it can go through SMS, and people can be notified as early as possible of their contributions. Honorable Mlaudi asked about implementation, issuing authority readiness, and status quo of provinces. So we have on a quarterly basis meetings with provinces. And at these meetings, so provinces, they say they are ready to implement ARCO. That's what they are saying. So where I'm sitting, I can vouch that they are not ready. They don't know what they are talking about, but they just want this thing to be implemented. What we put in place is that we have two sheets that indicate everything that is needed for you to implement ARCO. And we are sending to each and every municipality to check all the issues, and the municipal manager must sign, and then we'll have that as proof that they are actually ready. We are not going to be here saying in meetings where people are telling us they are ready. But when we go there, they don't even have fresh staff office. So we have a process in place. We call it ARCO readiness, issuing authority readiness form. It has been sent to all the authorities for them to fill it in. So that when it comes, we can advise the minister, 30%, 40%, 70% of the country is ready. Then the minister can actually look into that and see how do we put interventions or how do we go forward in terms of our implementation. There was an also one about fines or penalties after people were arrested. In terms of the legislation, anyone who has been paid at the court for traffic-related issues must be paid back to the issuing authority. So those monies will be paid back to the issuing authority. There was also an issue about 100% representations. Yes, Honorable Mlaudi, that is the target that we are going to do representations 100%. That is the target. We are not saying we have done it already. It's the target that we are saying we are going to do. Funding, any other source, in terms of the Act states exactly that, any other source. That's what it says. However, the question was, do we have any funders? So far, no. We don't have any other funders. Potential funders, we are looking at SICA, we are looking at AW SICA, we are looking at the Global Road Safety Partnership, we are looking at WHO in terms of some of the programs that we are doing. We have engaged treasury on those, and they have indicated they will assist us in terms of drafting business cases for that funding. I will speak to the MC of one, the CFO will talk to them. Honorable Sivande, Cotton Tradition City Provinces. Honorable members, the relationship in terms of the act, it says if you have a public law enforcement division, you are called what you are called an issuing authority. And once ARTO is being rolled out national, it means the relationship between us and that issuing authority is guided by the act. That means whoever don't you enforce law in this country, traffic law enforcement, is going to enforce it under us. So that will be a relationship between us. As an issuing authority, we'll be doing a service in terms of following up their files. They will no longer be required to enter into agreements with some of the companies that serve summonses and charge full-time grants or so on. We'll be doing that through the after process by issuing courtesy letters and enforcement. So that will be the relationship. But I think the issue that Honorable Mulausi Sivando wanted to know was the payments, and I think Honorable Ramatlakal also referred to that. Whenever an amount is paid in Paro, Traffic Department, and the amount of 250 that must belong to Johannesburg, 3% of that money will remain in Paro as a collective agent. And the rest of the money will be transferred into the RCID account, which will in turn transfer it to the issuing authority that deserves it. Honorable Ramatlakane indicated it might be a big project. Yes, according to the system now, I'm able to deal with that very easily, Honorable Ramatlakane. Every authority in this country has got a report that tells you how much was paid into his authority, and then how much was paid somewhere else, and how much you should expect from the RTIA from SMR. So everybody just goes into the system and looks at this, how many files for Johannesburg were paid, and how much is due, how much 3% is going to be paid by who, and so forth, and is sent to the RTIA account. Everybody sends into one account, and the RTIA takes disbursement reports, and then gives every authority the amount that they must get. In other instances, Johannesburg would receive more money than the RCIA owes. Some people will pay directly at Johannesburg, and they pay, say, 2 million. But the fines that were paid for Johannesburg for the whole month is about 1.5 million. So Johannesburg has got 2 million, but the RCIA has got, they are attached to 1.5. So what Johannesburg will do, will pay 500,000 into their account and keep their 1.5 because they deserve 1.5 for that. That process has been dealt with through treasury, and there's a practice note that treasury has written in order to legitimize all these processes, even the 3% which they must be. It has been legitimized by treasury doing a practice note. Authorities didn't like it because they wanted to keep all the money and pay over when they have. But treasury tells you that they agree that they should be coming to a central account and then it can be reversed if you that person. However, as I indicated, if an authority has got its own money, Johannesburg money has been paid into Johannesburg, they don't have to pay it into the actual account. We offset the amount. Okay? There was an issue about the renewal of driving licenses not being done. Honorable members, I indicated earlier that if law enforcement is not going to be up to scratch in this country, then ARTO is not going to work. We anticipate a scenario where people will want to drive without licenses once they are in a hazard. Hence, we are calling for implementation of national traffic law enforcement where officers will have key performance indicators as well as performance agreements where they can be touched
afford their performance, not necessarily on, like it is, there's nothing on the table like it is now. We're also looking at the scenario in Johannesburg, where we have 88% of electronic law enforcement, and we have about 12% or so of interactive law enforcement. If we have national traffic law enforcement code, it will indicate what should the authorities be doing, and then it will assist in terms of issues like stopping cars and safety measures. Yeah, the issue that was raised again, the issue of transformation. Yes, it was raised by the court as well as the ministry, and we are taking action in terms of that. In the past, I think this part began. There were actually positions that were advertised, and we have actually written there. Women are encouraged because we are reserving those exactly for women. So we are actually dealing with that because it has come sharply from the ministry as well as the department will deal with the issue of legislation.
Thank you, Acting Chair, Honorable Acting Chair. I'm just going to give some responses to the questions specifically around the NCHEC budget. I'll try to summarize them as much as possible because a lot of the questions were kind of similar or did require a similar answer. I'll start with the question from the Honorable Michelle. In terms of people moving towards IT, why is our IT budget so low in comparison, especially on here? In engagement with our internal IT unit, what they've explained to us is that when laying the initial infrastructure, that's where you spend the most cost. And then any sort of expansion or additions would cost less in comparison to the initial cost of laying down that infrastructure. So what they explained to us is that the additional cost shouldn't be much, much more or much, much higher. But having said that, we do take note that the number of staff that we plan to get is a lot higher, and we will need to balance, you know, the requirements of the staff against the number of staff that we plan to hire. We also have entered into discussions and informal agreements with other state entities that report into the Department of Transport to share resources when it comes to especially our national rollout. So where we want to have offices or representation in different provinces, what we want to do is pool our resources as different entities in transport and share our resources, and that should lower the cost quite significantly. That's also why the facilities costs aren't increasing exponentially with the number of people, because of those shared resources. So we hope to leverage off the strong relationships that we built with other transport entities in that aspect. And then just also to cover the competition of employees, why is that increasing so much? And that's mainly around the outdoor rollout. Currently, we're operating only in Gauteng and only in the Tshwane and Johannesburg metros. Now, when we roll out nationally, that'll take over the rest of the metros in Gauteng, and then we'll go to all the other provinces, all the other 8 provinces in addition. So we'll be going from dealing with 2 metros for as issuing authorities, to then dealing with more than 300 metros around the country. So you can see the number is huge in terms of the expansion that we will undertake with after rollout. Going on to a question from the Honourable Mlaudi, in terms of how practical is it for everyone to pay everywhere, this we found is the best means of encouraging people to pay. The more convenience people have to pay their fines, the more accessibility they have to paying their fines, the more we find that they comply. And we've seen that as we've increased our payment platforms, as we've made it more convenient for them to pay at driving license stations, registering authorities, the post office, banks, and websites, we've seen the traction, the increase in the payment of fines over the years. So the more convenient it is, the much more practical it is for us. And all we have to do is just manage the relationship that we have with all the different collecting payments, collecting platforms.
I think I've answered most of the questions. There was another question by the Honourable Maliki about the explanation in the increase, the huge exponential increases as the years go on, and I think that's due to the rollout and the sheer scale of the national rollout. And I think I'll hand over to back to you, Chair. You can decide who else needs to respond.
The Geo Chair needs to respond to one about the legislation coming to the COG and the reason for the
decline in the allegations from the department.
My question was to say, you're allocating human resources. Where do you get the other resources that is pertaining to these people? No, this is answer that. To hire people, you don't give them resources. What are they going to do there? What are they going to use that to work?
Honourable Acting Chair, the response I gave was the is that sharing of resources with other entities. They've got much more resources than we do. They understand that, and we have had discussions and agreements with them where we can leverage off those resources. So when we're hiring more people, we're hiring more people in the other provinces, and when we hire those people in the other provinces, we will literally request assistance from the other, or we have already requested assistance from the other entities in the transport sector. However, we will go back and look at the numbers and look at how we can refine those in terms of where we either get more money for the resources, the additional resources, or then not hire people if we don't have the resources for those people. We're not going to hire for the sake of hiring. We've had targets for hiring people in the past, and we haven't met them purely because we haven't had the budget to hire those people. So when it comes to hiring people, we'll hire people for work to be done. If there is no work for those people to do, we won't hire those people. It's on a need basis where we hire people, and we currently do that right now, which is also why we've come to a point where 6 months into the year, we haven't necessarily met our target for hiring people, because we need to make sure that the resources are in place and that the funding is in place in order for us to hire those people. So yes, we've got targets for hiring people, but it's not a case of hire and then see. It's a case of what we need, and then we hire. And that's how we've been operating over the years, and that's how we'll continue to operate.
Yeah, but I'm still not there with that answer. I'm still not there. What you're saying is just like me taking my son to the Salaga Honorable Bushiero, and I paid Honorable Bushiero to fit up the whole bill, not allocating probably money for school fees or for food and everything. It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. But just go and look at it and deal with it, because hey, I don't know what
I'm going to do. What wasn't clear on that response, maybe it was somebody that maybe they should look at it and they come back. It's a bit of a worrying response, because if you allocate your budget and budget based on this, and you can't say that you've already budgeted that if you don't need those people, you're not going to hire them. Well, that's a plan, and the plan is there for it to be implemented.
Yes.
So then you don't quite know what we would keep you accountable for on the basis, because it's very slippery. The response is very slippery. Maybe you would have to refine this, look at it, because it's not only that. I don't see how any other institution will provide infrastructure for somebody that they not necessarily have anything to do with. Because this thing they have to budget for. If you have to have equipment to work, if you have to have infrastructure to work, if you have to have a phone to utilize, somebody has to pay the cost. So you can't just walk into the office and just utilize, and then you are not. So I think maybe it is better that you refine a little bit that response in terms of it, so that you understand quite clearly. But when we say you have not implemented this, you have not met your target, you understand a bit of what you said. But for now, I think it's quite difficult for us to accept that as a response.
Yeah. Okay. I think you must be able to deal with this, because this will also open a space of corruption in the province. They will report that you've hired people that they are paid by you. That means you are creating ghost employees. it creates most of the place because they're paying these people are working there. Are paid by you, but the problem is as well. They say, no, we've got these people that have here. Who's a ghost? None existed. That's the case. I don't know, I see it on the far end, but you know it better. Please just say fair explanation that would give us a clear clarification. And sometimes we'll appreciate if you can get a response within 90 days in responding to these issues. Yeah. That's parliamentary time frame. We give you 90 days to respond to us around these issues. Because we can give you 5 days, even like the legislation agent. The legislation will give you 10 days in response. Do you want to talk
thank you, sir. I think it was in relation to the question of the legislative amendment. The current process is that we have received certification from the state advisor, and the next stage that is then to present the proposed regulation amendment to the DG cluster. And probably from the DG cluster, that we will then be able to get a date when the legislation is going to come to this portfolio committee. And what we had proposed is to say, because there were two pieces of legislation amendments that we proposed initially, the bigger version of the ARCO amendment and the shorter version of the ARCO amendment that was intended to enable the RTIA to be able that we can deal with one of the critical issues that they've raised in terms of the post office cost that they have incurred. And we were then requesting that when we submit the proposed legislation, we submit both bills to the portfolio committee so that then the portfolio committee can then assist us in fast-tracking some of the issues that are not covered in the shorter version of the legislation amendment. But the date in terms of when it's coming, we'll only get that after we have presented to the DG cluster.
No, I think we work with time frame here, this parliament. Don't tell us that when the DG is, tell us when. Then you'll be able to, tell us when. Must give us a date. If you come here, you must come with mandate. Can't come, gee. Aye. Yeah.
My apologies, Chairperson. I think I've just left the DG's office, and unfortunately, they haven't got the schedule yet from the DG cluster in terms of when. But what I anticipate is that in the next sitting of the DG cluster, we will then be submitting the proposed legislation amendment.
When is the next sitting of the DG cluster? My problem is that, you know, Parliament is closing now. Eh? Then, we are saying we want that legislation proposition to the portfolio committee for our first portfolio committee meeting when we are open Parliament. I hope got that.
No, no, no,
it hasn't been noted. You must have it. Alright, we'll do that. Thank you very much for the presentation up here. We just hope you're going to correct some of the issues that we just raised. We appreciate for your attendance. Please, go and raise it with your board. That you raise that concern that they are not attending portfolio committees. We've seen them. That's one of the things the term has started. They even came to the portfolio committee. And we are really worried about that. We are really worried and we want to get, we still expect that that letter, let's say, tomorrow, the committee secretary must receive the letter of apology from the secretary. And yeah, it's sufficient to do that. Please note that. At the moment, I'd like to appreciate and thank you very much for the execution of this project. the chairperson will I'll just give over the powers now. Just for so that we can be able to give the other matters in relation to the minister. Chairperson, can you please okay. Honourable members, can you confirm that we are expecting the legislation to be presented in our first portfolio committee meeting when we reopen the parliament, when parliament resume sessions as we next day? Can you confirm that, please, member? So, Michelle, what's your order? Can I get the move up from members to second this motion? Honorable Shella? Honorable Shella moves. Any second? Honorable Lauzi? Second the motion. So we're expecting you on the 27th of January to submit the legislation to the portfolio committee. So we are ordered by this portfolio committee. And the letter from the chairperson, we're still expecting it to tomorrow. Okay. So it is confirmed that we're going to get it. But chairperson, can I give it to Chairman Lee?
But you have the power. You give them power, they play around with it. So I'll just reserve the power back. Thank you very much, Honorable Kadel, for being there for me when I needed a shoulder to lean on. Thank you very much, Archia. As it has mentioned, we are concerned as a portfolio committee that the board, we have not seen the faces of the members of the board, and would really appreciate if in the next engagement with yourself they can be part of us. Thank you very much, even to the representative of the GG Chiefs and the acting GG. The meeting for yourself will be adjourned. For the honorable members, let's go into the session of dealing with the minutes. 1 minute for you to exit the room and then we can start with our business.